The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 337. I hope all is well with you, and I thank you very much for checking out this installment of the PVDcast. And I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be producing content. As many of you may know, I took last week off. I went on a little vacation to the New England area, Rhode Island to be exact, and visited mom, stepdad, some friends, some other family. So it was really cool to be away for a week, and I didn't do too much, although I did throw out a few social media posts and tweets, but I didn't do a lot of interaction. I just wanted to unplug for a little bit, take a week off, just relax, and I'm ready to get back at it, actually. So let's not waste any time. Let's talk about who my guest is. He is an independent comic book creator that I met at the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. But to be honest with you, and it's really weird how this world works, and I say this world of podcasting, I should say, is that I already kind of knew a lot about my guest before ever meeting him. My guest is Aaron Lindeman. He is, as I said, a comic book creator. And he worked with Stephen Hines on Stephen's project of Zombie Fabulous, which we'll talk all about that. But he has his own project out called The Fisherman. It truly is an awesome, fun read. It's kind of an ode, a tip of the hat, if you will, to the old El Santo films. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with El Santo, the greatest luchador in the history of professional wrestling. About 60 or 70 films were made starring him at the height of his popularity. And they basically were kind of like a formula. It was some supernatural being versus El Santo, and he was protecting friends, family, tag team partners, towns, cities, whatever, against this evil. And The Fisherman is very much like that. It's in the same vein, but it's a fun read. Aaron has an introduction chapter that's up on his website that we'll talk a little bit about. But he also has issue one out now. He's working on issue two. So it was really cool to have the opportunity to ask Aaron to come on and talk all about that. We're going to talk about some other things as well. So it's going to be a great episode. But before we get to the episode, time for me to give some props, to give some love, if you will, to my great sponsor of the PVDcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. Now, I say it time in and time out, that if you need a comic book store to call your own, if you want the very best in comic book retail facilities, I think I just created a new, like, politically correct way to say comic book stores. Anyways, if you want that comic book store that is just top-notch, look no further than World's Greatest Comics. They've got tons of comics from every era. They have comic book supplies. They have toys, graphic novels, collectibles, posters. They got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. As a matter of fact, Jeff just posted, I believe a week or so ago, that there's a bunch of new back issues in the store. They got a new collection. So look, maybe you're missing a particular issue of Silver Surfer, or maybe you're missing a particular issue of Catwoman. I am absolutely certain that Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics probably have that issue for you. So you need not delay. You need to get on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or touch base with them through the internet. They have a great website, wgcomics.com. And you can find them on their very active Facebook page. Just search for @WG Comics. And once again, Thanks so much for being a sponsor of World's Greatest Comics. I really do appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with comic book creator Aaron Lindeman. Ladies and gentlemen, sitting down with me this evening is Aaron Lindeman, who is, of course, a great and talented comic book creator from here in Ohio. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're kind of in the western part of Ohio, right? Piqua?
Piqua, Ohio. Yeah, we're about a half an hour north of Dayton.
You know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. What's the independent comic book scene like in Dayton? Because, you know, we hear from a lot of creators, but I haven't recently heard how the scene is.
You know, there's a pretty decent scene in Dayton. It's not as big as what you see in a city like Columbus, but, I suppose that's to be expected. But there's a lot of good small cons around this area, and it's while there is not much going on here in the city of Piqua, if you travel a little way south to Dayton, you can find people who are interested in comics and people who are making comics.
Cool. Well, let's talk about one of your projects, one that I find to be near and dear to my heart because I'm a wrestling nerd. The Fisherman. Let's talk a little bit about it. Can you give a brief synopsis of the project without giving too much away to the listeners?
Yes. So it is a fantasy comic about Mexican wrestling. The sort of the whole idea behind it is Mexican wrestlers fighting sort of supernatural creatures like vampires, werewolves, that sort of thing.
So let's talk about the protagonist, I guess you could say, for your book, El mm-hmm. Pescador.
Yes. So
do you have an inspiration for this character? Because, Aaron, as I read the introduction, I read issue one, I kind of get this vibe of like a Jack Black, Nacho Libre type of character. Would that be accurate to say, or is my sensibilities a little bit off?
No, it's definitely pretty similar to that. The original inspiration for the comic was a series of Mexican films starring a wrestler by the name of El Santo. And in they made, I don't know, 60 or 70 of these movies. Only a few of them have been, translated for American audiences. But the basic conceit is that you have El Santo and sometimes his friend Blue Demon, and they fight supernatural creatures, vampires, werewolves. There's definitely a big supernatural investigation element to the movies, and you get to see luchadors, punching Dracula in the face. It's great.
And you and I talked at space that we do share a love for those movies. In fact, I confessed to you that I had just picked up a 2-pack and I watched El Santo and Blue Demon take on versus Dracula and Wolfman. And oh man, yes. It was that's a fantastic one.
They're so good. They're really enjoyable.
Yes. Now, I have yet to watch the other one, El Santo versus Frankenstein's Daughter, which does have me intrigued. I can't wait to see how that one shakes out.
I don't think I've watched that one either. I'll have to put that on the list.
So when did you first discover these movies?
Well, the first one that I saw was actually, it was a movie on an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And they had translated the title of the movie as Samson versus the Vampire Women. And that was when I was first introduced to the series. And like a lot of the movies that they lampoon in Mystery Science Theater, I realized immediately that it was the kind of movie that I would just watch unironically, even if there weren't riffs being done over it. So then I went out and tried to find some of the other movies in the series, and I found out there's a whole lot of them.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, when you think about it for modern day example, it's like The Rock. You know, the El Santo was huge. If folks are not aware, he was the Hulk Hogan of Mexican wrestling for decades.
Oh yeah, he was a superstar.
Yeah, in fact, I just recently told my girlfriend about when he unmasked. It was like the biggest thing ever. Like,
oh yeah,
people tuned in from all across the country to watch him unmask. And then, if I'm not mistaken, didn't like a couple weeks later he pass away?
I believe that is correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, we got a little bit off topic. Let's pull it back to the fisherman and let's talk a little bit about some of the side characters, some of the other players in your tale. Uncle mm-hmm. Chimo and Sylvia, who are an uncle and niece. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about those characters.
So Sylvia, I wanted to make her sort of this plucky up-and-coming wrestler who is, you know, sort of starts out as kind of an understudy to El Pescador, but might eventually sort of succeed him. And Chimo, her uncle, is he's the one who sort of kicks off their little adventure that they're going on. He's not a wrestler, not a fighter, but an important companion nonetheless.
Is he maybe the brains behind the brawn? Would you say that's a safe way to describe him? Maybe.
But both him and Sylvia are pretty intelligent. El Pescador, you know, intelligence is maybe not his defining characteristic.
Yes, indeed. And if you folks, we'll get into it. If you want to get a little sample of the fisherman, there is the introduction chapter, I guess you could say, on mm-hmm. Your website, Aaron. And I definitely would say that if you check it out, you'll see that, yeah, El Pescador, not maybe the brightest light bulb in the socket.
But that's okay. You know, you don't have to be.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. B.A. Baracus on the A-team, not the smartest guy either, but he was to get stuff done, right?
Hey, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about one other character real quick. And I hope I pronounced the name correctly.
Valkyria Maxima. Yep.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that character.
Her story is, you know, she's this sort of legendary wrestler that is spoken of in whispered tones. She was the biggest thing, you know, the basically invincible fighter, but she disappeared a long time ago. And she's sort of central to the mystery that all of the characters are trying to solve. They're trying to find out what happened to her.
And you have, so far, as I mentioned, you have the introduction and you also have issue one. What's the status of the project? I know you have 5 issues planned for the Fisherman, correct?
Yes. 5 issues to finish this first story arc. And then once I'm done with that, I will sort of assess where the project is at and sort of decide if I want to continue. I have sort of some loosely defined ideas that I could pull together to extend the story out. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if the motivation is there once I've finished a 5-issue run.
What's the feedback been like? Because one of the things I think I kind of thought about in my own head when I actually reread issue 1 of Rumble at Robber's Reef just today, because I'd read it a while ago and I was like, I want to make sure it's fresh in my mind. And I think today I thought to myself, this is really a great book for anyone. And so how's the feedback been? Have you had like fans come up and say, this is really great? And also have maybe families come up and go, hey, this is pretty great. My kid loved it, et cetera, et cetera.
I have had a few comments to that. The response to it that I've gotten has been really just amazing. And like I said, there's not necessarily a whole lot of a scene here in Piqua. So a lot of the time I'm operating just sort of in a vacuum. I don't get a lot of feedback until I actually go to shows and interact with people there. But, you know, I've met some really nice people at shows who have come back to my table after having bought an issue or two the previous year. And they've been really nice to me. And I even had one person who wrote me a very nice letter after he had read the first issue of the Fisherman, talking about how, you know, how well written and funny it was. And it's just been, it's really been remarkable how nice everyone has been to me about the Fisherman. It's really been great.
Well, I guess the obvious question I've yet to ask, or the topic that we've yet to discuss, is obviously you got to be a fan of wrestling if you're writing a comic about Mexican luchadors. Who are some of your favorite wrestlers that you liked watching or do still love watching?
Well, it should come as no surprise that I was a big fan of Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. And particularly in the first couple seasons of that, Prince Puma was really amazing to me. The athleticism, all of the like high flying moves, really just amazing to watch.
Oh yes, most definitely. And some modern fans may know him now as Ricochet because he's in the WWE now and plying his trade up there. So any other favorites besides Prince Puma?
I'm going to be honest here. I have been out of the wrestling scene a little bit lately, basically since Lucha Underground wrapped up, though not necessarily because I've lost interest in it, just because I've been too busy to watch.
Totally understandable. And listen, there's lots of people, Aaron, have said that, you know, that, hey, man, you know, I took a break from it because of whatever reason. And obviously, you know, creating great comics is a valid reason enough. But yeah, no, that's a common statement I hear from lots of people. I would like to shift, since we're talking about luchadors real quick, one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid was Mil Máscaras.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing him in one of those wrestling magazines, and I was like, whoa, this is a masked guy, and he's very colorful, you know? Yeah. And then a while later, I got to see a clip of him on TV, and I'm like, wow, he does drop kicks. He floats through the air and everything. And so he was always a favorite of mine, even to this day. In fact, I actually have a replica Máscaras mask in my office, actually. I bought it years ago at a Comic-Con, at a Pittsburgh Comic-Con, way back, way, way, way back in the day. And I proudly have that bad boy on the mantle up here. So,
That's great.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit real quickly before we move on to talking about some other projects. Tell us a little bit where folks can find the Fisherman, you know, and talk about that intro that I mentioned, that introduction section as well. Just run down real quick your website and whatnot.
Absolutely. You can find it on fishermancomic.com. And another link that works is lindemanart.com. And that'll take you to my website, which has links to not only my comics, but also pictures of illustrations that I've done, you know, posters, all that sort of thing. And there's quite a bit of the Fisherman up there that you can read absolutely for free.
I want to ask you about those posters that you have on the main page of your website.
Mm-hmm.
Were those commissions, or were those you like trying to just kind of show what you can do?
That was almost all me just drawing, drawing what I felt like drawing at the time.
Okay.
I like doing my own stuff, but occasionally I also like to do a little bit of fan art, as you might have seen if you looked at the website. I'm a big fan of things like Twin Peaks, X-Files, video games, you know, you name it.
I was pulled towards the Mothman poster.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was pretty sweet. I think you captured the essence of that character that, you know, or whatever you want to call him. I mean, I know I don't want to get into debate whether he's real or not. I'm just saying. I will leave it as character, mysterious figure. How about that? We'll go with that.
We love the Mothman. We actually I went to the Mothman Festival a few years back in order to I was tabling there, and it was the busiest show that I've ever been to. There was just constantly a huge crowd of people, and like there was hardly a chance to get away from the table because there were always new people walking up. But it was also just a lot of fun. Got to see the big Mothman statue they have there in the center of town. It's just a really good time. I recommend it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Aaron for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They've got it all. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Just go to wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Just look for @ WG Comics. Well, let's talk about Zombie Fabulous, which is a project that you worked on with Stephen Hines, friend of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I just got to ask, how did you get roped into working on this project with Stephen?
So I had actually just decided that I wanted to try to start doing artwork in a professional capacity. I had just recently been laid off from a retail job that I've been working forever, trying to sort of decide what I was going to do with myself. You know, I'd been drawing for as long as I could remember, and it was the number one thing that I really enjoyed doing, and it was sort of my my dream job to work as an illustrator. And so shortly after I decided that I was going to try to give it a go, I was introduced to Stephen Hines, who just, you know, serendipitously was looking for someone to draw a comic. And it just sort of went from there.
So with this project, you're working with Stephen, whereas The Fisherman, you're everything. You're creator, you know, writer, everything. Can you talk a little bit about the process of how Stephen and you decided to work on this book? Like, was there a particular kind of back and forth where here's some of my ideas and you would sketch them out, send them back to him? Or how did you guys do this?
It was a fairly traditional comic setup. You know, he wrote a script, he sent it to me, and then I would send him finished pages. And most of the time that they were good, very, very, occasionally, there would be one or two things that needed to be changed, but you know, he handled the all of the writing, and he mostly left me to my own devices for figuring out how I wanted to lay out pages and draw the individual panels.
Let's go ahead, since we're on this creative process kind of discussion, if you will.
Sure.
What's your background in art? Are you formerly like a graduate of an art academy, or were you just kind of self-taught? What was your pathway into art?
It is mostly self-taught. I've been drawing for as long as I can remember. When I got out of high school, I enrolled in the local community college in their art program. I was doing fine art there, so like painting, sculpture, that sort of thing. Not a very good student, so I did not finish that pursuit. So most of what I have learned over time has come from books that I've read on specifically comic drawing and anatomy and that sort of thing. And just sort of trial and error, just, you know, beating my head against the wall until I find the techniques that work for me.
Can we talk about maybe real quickly how you handled sometimes? You mentioned, you know, trial and error. Mm-hmm. So how do you personally and professionally deal with, like, when a project doesn't quite turn out the way you hope it turned out, or whether that's the entire project, or maybe it's just a few pages, or maybe it's just a concept that you're piecing together? How do you handle those failures, if I may ask?
One piece of advice that I've seen a lot of professionals give is that it's better to have a project finished than a project that's perfect. That, you know, you sort of need to put everything you have into a project and try to do your best work. But if at the end, you know, it isn't quite as good as you would have liked, but it's finished, you at least have a finished product. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you, you know, if you keep tweaking and, you know, trying to fix all of your mistakes, you can do that forever and just never actually finish. But if you actually finish the project, whether it's great or just sort of okay, you at least have something to show for it.
Okay. Good sound advice, actually. Very good advice. I think so. Yeah. So let's talk about some more of your background. Obviously, you are a comic book fan because you create comics. Mm-hmm. What were some of your favorite comic books to read, or what are some of them still to this day that you like to read?
Well, my number one is probably Hellboy. I'll basically buy any document that has that word printed on the cover. It could be, you know, the minutes from a PTA meeting. I wouldn't even open it up and look inside. I really like that series. I like everything in the Mignola-verse, BPRD, all that sort of thing. I like Junji Ito comics, sort of Uzumaki and Gyo and all of that horror stuff. I'm sort of a horror guy, and he's just about the best horror cartoonist in the biz, in my opinion. I like a lot of things. I like the Sixth Gun is a very good series. It also touches on that sort of supernatural adventure type of genre, which is kind of my thing.
All right, I'm going to ask about a project that I saw on your Facebook page. And Aaron, it made me learn something, first of all, number one, but it also made me click on it. Can you tell us a little bit about the art that you did for Gilbert the Possum?
I don't know if I can or not. Let me be perfectly straight with you here. I haven't logged into my Facebook account for like 3 years. my wife, who is also my manager, is sort of my you know, she handles the social media aspect of the business.
So you don't remember drawing any sketches of a possum sitting on top of a Roomba?
I do vaguely remember this, but I'll tell you what, I draw a lot of possums. I love my two big favorite animals are possums and sloths, and I just sort of idly doodle them if I'm, you know, talking on the phone or if I'm doing something that doesn't require a lot of thought. I'll just kind of scribble out some little cartoon possums. They're real cute. You know, they get a bad rap, but they're actually very friendly. Well, not friendly, but they're not aggressive, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay, first of all, this is a first for the PBD cast. Number one, that a guest totally threw their manager kind of under the bus. And number two, I spent 20 minutes watching a video about possums because of you, Aaron.
Hey, we're spreading the good word. They're almost immune to rabies, and they eat up to 5,000 ticks a season.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? There you go. We need them around.
Yeah, they're like it's ironic to have one riding on a Roomba because they're sort of nature's Roombas when you really think about it.
Yeah. all right. Well, there we go. oh, nice. So, Aaron, let me just go back real quickly. And actually, I think this question can be for any of your projects. Sure. But I was just thought about it while we were just joking there for a minute. When it comes to the fishermen or any of your projects, do you find it helpful to do a ton of research?
I do. It depends on the project, but I do like to make sure that I'm meeting sort of the baseline standards for accuracy. Like, I spent a lot of time studying sailing vessels when I was drawing the ghost pirate ship for the fishermen, partly because I'm a big nerd and I'm just sort of interested in that sort of thing anyway, but also just because I wanted to make sure that it looked fairly accurate, that there weren't any obvious, mistakes that would make it look like I didn't know what I was doing.
All right. Well, here we go. Before we get into talking about upcoming appearances, website, social media, all that jazz, mm-hmm. Do you have any future projects on the horizon?
I do. I'm working on a project right now. It's a comic that was written by Jordan Kirian, who is a Columbus area comic writer and artist. It's sort of a martial arts story. It's like a kung fu type of deal, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you a fan of kung fu movies?
I am. this one in particular is sort of it bears a lot of similarities to Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, nice.
Which, obviously, as someone who's into horror, I just love everything that John Carpenter has touched. So this is, personally for me, it's a subject that I'm really sort of interested in and just ready to make it the best comic that I can.
Cool. All right. Well, let's talk here about upcoming appearances. Well, let's hype that website, social media stuff and whatnot.
Sure. So the next upcoming appearance for me is going to be at the Gem City Comic Con, which is one of the bigger Dayton area shows. That's on July 22nd. I don't know. I've sort of lost my grasp on time during the COVID era. July 22nd sounds right. Also, I'm on social media. I have a Facebook page. and there's somebody checking it.
that damn Facebook page.
I also have a Twitter, Instagram, all that. My particular poison, the only social media that I really check obsessively is Twitter. So if anybody wants to get a hold of me and know that it is actually me, that is the place to look.
And that Twitter is at Lindemann Aaron, correct?
Yep, that's right.
All right, as well as your Instagram as well. So there you go. And I think we already mentioned it. What's your website again?
It is fishermancomic.com.
There you go. Check out the introduction. It's really fun. I especially if you are a wrestling fan, I think you really will dig it. But I mean, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to dig it, but I assure you that wrestling fans are going to dig it. So Aaron, any last words real quick before we wrap up?
I just want to thank you for inviting me here. I think this is probably the first podcast that I've ever been interviewed on for
really?
Comics. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So it was really an exciting, you know, it was a sort of a red letter event for me.
Oh, right. Well, I did not know this was your first. Well, I'm glad you came on. Thank you very much for coming on, by the way. And, you know, I always say this, but it's true. I know people are very busy. So I really do appreciate when guests say, I'd love to come on and talk to you about whatever. In this case, your wonderful comics. And so, Aaron, with that, thank you very much for coming on again. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Aaron Lindemann, talking about The Fisherman, Zombie Fabulous, some of his new projects coming up, and even his Facebook page, which is a little bit of a mystery to him. And in full disclosure, I did ask Aaron if we could keep that in the episode, and he was absolutely A-okay with it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was some great comedy. But definitely check out Aaron through all of his social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, as I stated in the episode, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, if you're a fan of luchador action, and I know, as Aaron said, you know, people sometimes, you know, you fall into the love of wrestling and then you get out of it and then you get back into it. But trust me, I think if you are a wrestling fan, you will certainly enjoy The Fisherman. And heck, even if you're not a wrestling fan, it's a great, fun tale. And I know I've used that adjective quite a bit through this episode of fun, but that's the best way to describe it. So once again, find Aaron online. If you see him at a comic book convention like Gem City, pick up a copy of The Fisherman and say hello to him, if you will. He's a fun dude, as you can tell from our conversation. All right, there's a few things I need to kind of take care of house cleaning wise. And I'm going to start off with a little change in the schedule for the PVD cast. While I didn't do a lot of work per se on the PVD cast while I was on vacation, there was one thing that I kind of did work on a little bit. And that is taking a look at the data that I received from all the different podcasting outlets and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., etc. I'm going to make a change as to when the Facebook broadcast is going to happen. I know for a very long time, almost like a year and a half, Monday nights at 8 has been where I have played the weekly episode through the Facebook page. And again, that Facebook page is at PVDcast. And I've done that for a while, and to be bluntly honest, it was great for the first year or so of doing it that way. Recently, I feel like the listenership has completely kind of dissipated, went away, disappeared, whatever you want to say. So I am moving that broadcast to Wednesday nights at 8 Eastern Standard Time, obviously. And we're going to see if the numbers come back. Maybe a different night of the week might end up helping out the PVD cast. I'm not sure. As you've heard many times before, podcasting is not an exact science. You kind of have to trial and error some things. And I was really hesitant to tinker with the schedule, but I feel like this might be in the best interest of this podcast. New episodes still will drop on Thursday. That is not changing. It's just the Facebook broadcast that is changing from Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Wednesdays Eastern Standard Time, actually starting with this episode. So, all right, with that though, let me tell you where you can get a hold of me if you need to do so. Maybe you have a question about the schedule. Who knows? You can get in touch with me via email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on Facebook or Instagram at pvdcast. There are the handles for those two outlets. And of course, you can find the PVDcast at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or through any of those major podcasting applications like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app. You know, just search for it in the search bar, PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And as I have just talked about, that data that I looked at last week, the biggest and most important piece of data that I look at is the rating, the reviewing, and the subscribing of listeners. So if you listen to an episode of the PVDcast, please rate and review. Give me whatever rating you think I deserve and just drop a line or two. You don't have to write like a book or paragraph. You can just write down good episode, love it, whatever. Make it easy on yourself, all right? So again, please rate and review, and of course subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Once again, thank you very, very much for checking out this installment of the PVD Cast, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.